You're listening to the Christian Indie Artist and Songwriters Podcast, the place where faith, music, and life intersect. We exist to help Christian indie artists and songwriters just like you get songs heard. Hey, I'm here with my friend Ryan Linton coming to us live from Indiana. How's it going this morning, Ryan?
It is going well, man. How are you?
Doing good. Well, like I was talking before we got on, you know, we connected a couple years ago, man, and I just love the music you're putting out and just the production value and songwriting, and I know I've got some friends in common, so I'm excited to, you know, have people hear that whole story. But, you know, with that in mind, like, where did music kind of start for you? Where did it all begin?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. My journey started, I guess, if you really want to go back, like in junior high, so, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old, somewhere around in there. I got a bass guitar for Christmas and, you know, just thought it was cool, really knew nothing about it. And, you know, just started thumping around on it. At that point, like, I was not a Christian by any means. And I was just thumping around on just like my, you know, stained like albums and stuff like that, you know? So yeah, totally. So yeah. So I just, you know, I definitely knew there was kind of some ability there. And I played a little bit, like, you know, at my extended family's church, you know, just, they were just nice to let me just come up. And there was like, my uncle was like playing bass at the same time as I was. So it was just like, just more of like a generosity thing than anything. But yeah. So that, you know, but that never really like took off, you know. In fact, I got away from it and was just like really got into sports and just was just not like super interested in it for several years. And then I can never remember, it's like somewhere in sophomore or junior year of high school, man, I just had like this like wake up call, like in my heart and in my spirit, and just that, somehow, like, I just knew there was a God and that one day, like, I was going to have to, like, answer to him about my life. And I just knew that that was reality one way or another. In hindsight, I believe it was just when Jesus says that, like, no man can come to the Father unless I draw him, you know, or no man can come to me unless the Father draws him. I believe that that was kind of like what was going on, that God's spirit was just kind of like bringing me to him. And at that point, like, almost like immediately, you know, I was like, I don't want to be involved, like, in sports anymore, you know. I did, that was just taking so much time and energy, and it was going to be taken away from time like at youth group, like on Wednesday nights, and where, like, you know, these people that I loved and like, man, they've like loved me like never before, you know, and just like a sense of like community that I felt. And with that, we were very just musically driven, like in our youth group, you know, like my youth pastor was incredibly talented guy, and like musically and vocally as well. And I just, man, I just really dearly loved him. And he was like one of those people that I just like, I want to model my life after this guy, you know. Not that anybody's perfect, obviously, right? But you know, just that this was like a mentor that like I just really looked up to and wanted to model my life after. And so it was almost like I circled back around, you know, at that moment, you know, to kind of just music and just the joy that I felt while playing it. And so what I really think and what I really believe, and I tell people this, is that I almost feel like God was like kind of sparing me whenever I was in junior high. Mm. And you know, like I said, I thumped around my bass guitar, but like it never really took off. And I almost kind of wonder if I would have really ran with that, like if I could have been so like ingrained of like, man, I don't want to give up like this music and a lot of times the lifestyle that comes along with that, you know, of, you know, just some of the music that's out there, you know, like in the secular world, you know, not that it's all bad, you know, but like, sure. But you know what I mean? So especially at that age, at a very young, impressionable age. So really, man, like in hindsight, I just felt like God was just like being gracious to me and just kind of not really like waking that up on the inside of me until my relationship, like, was there with him and came to life. And therefore, like, and then the music did, you know, and then I realized I put it together. It's like, oh, I can do this, like to serve you and like to give this back to you and to give it to people, you know? And so that's really like where it started at, and how like that musical journey, like really, you know, kind of took off, you know, for me.
I love that, man. And honestly, you know, I'm hearing a similar story from what I kind of experienced. Same deal with bass, even, you know, like got a bass. My dad's actually, I just talked about someone with this, you know, got a bass, hurt my fingers really bad. It was like, okay, this is going back onto the bed, you know? And I remember my mom always tells me this story because I was into sports and skateboarding and stuff and, you know, just being really physically basketball, football, the whole bit. And my mom always reminds me of this. She's like, you know, when you were 12 or 13, I wanted to buy you like a CD player or something for Christmas. And I was, and my answer was like, what for? Like, I didn't care about music. I just, all I cared about was like sports and stuff, but the seed was planted, you know, God put that in me. Cause eventually I started playing bass. It wasn't a youth group, but it was like a youth type of, you know, band at church, at a Methodist church. And we were playing, that's where I started, man, playing bass in the church and then just keep going from there. So that's awesome to hear that, you know, in a similar way, like God planted that in you. And like you said, just to sort of like get you started. So that way, when you felt that connection with God and you wanted to serve him, it's like, well, that was the first thing to go to because you've already kind of been there. It wasn't starting from scratch necessarily. You had a somewhat of a foundation. So that's really cool. So did you play bass like in the youth worship team and lead or just started in bass or how did that kind of start?
Yeah, so I started, I'm sure I played bass like Summit Youth Group. I'm kind of really trying to reach back here like in memory. It's been a good 15 to 20 years now, but playing there and then on Sunday morning playing bass as well, like for that, you know, just like big church. But yeah, pretty quickly migrated over to electric guitar and acoustic and just found more of a, there's obviously like on it, just standing alone, there's obviously like just more of a melodic quality to an acoustic guitar and electric guitar, you know, that, it, you know, than just like a bass, you know, it's a lot more fun to play just by yourself, like in your room or whatever, you know, than just like a bass. Yeah. So just quickly, like I said, migrated over to that. And then that's like really where I super fell in love, you know, with just, you know, those instruments and guitar. Yeah. So, but yeah, started playing like regularly leading like songs regularly. Actually, I guess maybe it was my senior year of high school. Our youth pastor, like, you know, just like we recorded just like at church, just like off the soundboard or something like that. And he like made us like a little like EP, you know, and it was super fun. And in fact, like I pulled out like this, like old, like iPod, like little 16 gigabyte, like iPod kind of thing. And, and just listen to those, some of that stuff and just kind of reminisced. And it was just sweet, man. And just to even see like, you know, I'm sure you've noticed this too, but just how like the texture of your voice just changes like over time, like what 15 years will do, you know, and just how you just learn it better and you're able to, you know, just like, you know, just utilize it better and everything. Cause I like me and a friend were sitting down listening to it. He's like, dude, this is not you. There's no way this is you. And I was like, it's me, dude. Like, cause it just sounded like just this scruffy, like gruff, like I don't even know. It's pretty remarkable, you know, but what maturity or like what time will do for you. But yeah, so that's, you know, that's where I definitely got my start. And we had when I was in high school and like even in college days as well, like the denomination that I was with, we had a competition, like we just called it fine arts, and a competition that we were in. And actually our worship team, like our youth group worship team, won the state championship for like fine arts in our denomination. So, man, it was just super fun, you know, just go up to Indianapolis and like compete in that and win it. And it was just a blast, you know? So music was definitely super heavy, like in my life, you know, like in those first formative years, like in my, you know, just relationship with Jesus and just, you know, people at the church and just, you know, everything like that.
So were you writing original music at that time or just kind of performing the songs of the day at worship? Like where did the songwriting piece kind of start for you?
Yeah. So was not writing really at all. Like I, you know, I had like probably just like a lot of people kind of like, oh, I have this idea, you know, or whatever.
Right.
But nothing ever really at all like that came to be. Now with that, and this is probably where some of the influence came, like for me, you know, so I don't want to get ahead of ourselves like an interview here, but my youth pastor was a songwriter as well. So yeah, so he definitely had songs that he, you know, wrote and put out and used to, he actually, so there's actually, do you remember the old band Pillar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rock band.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So he actually was before they like got signed or whatever and kind of became bigger. They were in an Oregon based a band out there called Pillar. And so they like had an album and everything like that. And then as the story goes, he told me that like they, I guess whenever the other band got signed, they, you know, somebody contacted him like, hey man, you gotta find a different name. And so, so just kind of a funny story, you know, but yeah, so they were the original Pillar, man. And it was, so it was a pretty funny story, but, yeah, so that was definitely like, there was still some influence there, I would say, you know, like I wasn't writing my own stuff, but there was still kind of something to maybe kind of like look towards, you know, and be influenced by, like, you know, even if it was something that was down the road that I would do.
So did that transition you know, being in the youth worship team, did you kind of think like, hey, like, maybe this is what I want to do for my vocation someday is like be, you know, the worship pastor at some church. Like how did that process kind of go?
Yeah, totally. That's pretty much exactly what happened. So, you know, I knew I wanted to be in ministry, really felt strongly that that was what the Lord was calling me into. Pretty much from the get-go. At that time, I couldn't imagine doing anything else. And so how it got started. And so within our denomination, actually, as well as Assemblies of God is what it's called. There was something called Master's Commission that started, I think, like back like in the 80s or something like that. And so there was, you know, there's plenty of them all over, you know, like the country. And I think there's probably even some in different countries as well. But yeah, that was something that was recommended to me by my youth pastor and maybe even by others as well. And so I just checked it out and it was very ministry hands-on driven what you did, like especially, so it was a 3-year program. If you chose to go to the whole, you could just do it like in 1-year segments. You didn't actually, it's, you know, it's kind of operated differently from what a university would. Yeah. And so I just, you know, I knew I wanted to go to all 3 of them. And the first 2 years was very hands-on, ministry driven. So you're doing everything like children's worship, elderly, you know, visiting with elderly folks going on. I went to Europe on a missions trip, you know, so just touched a whole lot of different ministry. And then in that third year, it kind of funnels you into like what you feel like God is specifically calling you to do. And so, and I knew like from the beginning that it was going to be worship, you know, but you know, it was good that I still did all that, I think. So anyways, yeah. So in the third year, I just really focused heavily on just worship and actually interned kind of underneath of our senior pastor at that time. And he had been involved in worship his entire, you know, ministry career as well. And so, yeah, so that's, you know, that was definitely like a nice like incubator, you know, for me just to continue. And through that entire time, actually from my first year of Master's Commission, I was leading anytime where we went and did like a church service, you know, I was leading worship, you know, like to represent like our team. And so, I mean, I was definitely like involved with that, like, you know, right out of the gate as well, even from high school. And then really, I mean, I've been doing it ever since, you know, it hasn't really stopped, you know, maybe a little bit like, you know, just in a handful of seasons, but you know, it really hasn't stopped at all.
So that's great, man. And I had some friends because the church I was involved with was AG also or affiliated. So I did the like Berean, you know, Bible school and all that stuff.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Totally. I did Berean as well. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. I got my certifications for Berean. So yeah. So I didn't do Master's Commission, but I did the Berean side. So I totally
understand. Okay. So you're like very like you've definitely heard, you know, that term like Master's Commission, you know, or that's of the school. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
One of my great friends, that's what he did and that I worked with at the church. He went through Master's Commission. So,
okay.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. So I didn't realize that you could do like worship focused nets. That's really cool. So in that process, was there any like songwriting stuff that started happening there? Cause like you said, you had ideas and things, but like, when did you start to kind of formulate like, hey, I really want to understand how to craft songs and like start getting, because you know, the stuff I've heard from you is like top notch, amazing stuff. So like, where did that journey kind of begin as far as the songwriting artistry side?
Yeah. Well, thanks, man. Yeah. I would say even like through Master's Commission, it was once again, just kind of like, oh, this is a cool idea, you know, or whatever. Like that's,
yeah,
you know, it was still very just like super minimal, you know, as far as like ideas and songwriting or anything like that. You know, I'd sit down and like noodle at the piano and like, you know, have like a lyric idea, but nothing really concrete, you know, all through Master's Commission. And then early on, like in my, I remember I wrote one song. So right out of Master's Commission, I was at a church just for a little bit of like a little amount of time. And I remember I wrote a song up there. I was like, oh, this is really cool. You know, once again, still didn't do anything with it. So I'll kind of like accelerate this. So long story short, like about a year after Master's Commission, I lived a couple places, up in Indy and in Cincinnati, and ended up coming back here to like where I'm from, and began like working at a church here, serving as their music minister, just part-time. Was there for like a total of 5.5 years. In the last year and a half of that, actually got married within that time as well. I guess I should say that. Actually taught my wife how to play bass because we just needed a bass player, but I'm sure there was also like, I'm interested in this person. And so this would be a fun way to like maybe spend some time.
Teaching her how to play bass and teaching her how to be your wife.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. She'll like that. You know, she listens later to this, but yeah, so we got married and the youth pastor, that was there, we were kind of like serving alongside of him and helping. And then he ended up like stepping out of that role. And we definitely didn't feel called to youth ministry like long term, and I, you know, still don't, and I don't know if we ever will, but we just felt like it was like just a good thing like for like locally for our situation like at that moment, that you know, we've already got you know, a relationship here. And so we're just going to step in and like assume this role, you know, like for a while, at least until we think, you know, like we can't do this any longer or whatever, you know. So ended up still leading worship, youth ministry. And then actually the way, so this is in a Wesleyan church is where we were serving at the time. The way that it works in the Wesleyan church, or at least in our situation, was that the youth pastor was actually responsible from basically like birth to 18. And so, there's this, okay, this huge like cut of the pie, you know, that, yeah, we're like kind of responsible for and like ministering to. So as you can imagine, you know, even in the, it was a pretty small church, you know, 100 to 150 people, but it's still like, you know, that just wore us down pretty quickly. And, you know, it was still like a great time in ministry. Just loved like the kids that we had, you know, like in our youth group. And, it was awesome. But like there, it wasn't like terribly long within that, you know, that we began to just kind of feel like this rub of like, I don't know if this is it, you know. You know, I've heard, I'm trying to think, I think it's Frederick Buechner that says that calling is where your greatest passion and joy and the world's hunger meet. And I just didn't have a sense of that, where we at and what we were doing. So anyway, yeah, I mean, church is never perfect. And we had some just issues that we were just dealing with, you know, just from there. So we were kind of feeling like just the friction of all that and kind of feeling like we didn't have the freedom to just like lead the way that we felt like we should, you know. I mean, there's still like obviously like a lot of personal wrestling that you got to do within all that too, you know, as far as like, you know, like, God, I want to make sure I'm submitting to leadership, you know, so I want to like make sure to like vocalize that. But it was, yeah, kind of beyond that, like where you almost kind of felt like you were being kind of forced into things and micromanaged a little bit, you know? And so, but I mean, that's church, man. Like we're broken people as well, man. That just, you know, still need Jesus. But anyway, beyond, yeah, all that. So I wouldn't say that like kind of moved us out or whatever, but it was definitely like this springboard, if you will, to kind of really start asking these somewhat tough questions of like, you know, do we want to continue to serve here? Or do we feel like there's something different or else, you know, that God is leading us into, you know, because, you know, I think we as just humans, like we just crave like comfort and predictability and, you know, all those things. And so it's easy just to get locked into like a career and just be like, yeah, like I don't want to ever like move on from the situation because, you know, I feel like I've got everything in a row and like, you know, everything's firing all cylinders. And, you know, it's not too long, like where it's like, you know, we begin to worship that control and that comfort, you know, like if we're not careful, you know. So yeah, you know, and there's some people that God calls them and they are somewhere in a ministry for 25 years, you know, so that's a totally different, yeah, situation, you know. But there's times like where, you know, like my youth pastor, you know, that I was telling you about earlier, he told me, he said, comfort is the biggest enemy of the cross, you know, of just picking up your, wow, cross daily and following Jesus, you know. And so yeah, so I just kind of felt like, oh man, if I stay here, yes, it's like it's comfortable, like in a, you know, from a financial aspect, from all those places, you know, like just predictability, but it's not like where my deepest joy and like the world's hunger is meeting. It's like, you know, I feel like that's what maybe Frederick Buechner would tell me. But so with all that, I just began to kind of talk to my wife and say, you know, like, hey, like I just want to like pursue just music like full time. Like I want to just that to be it, you know? Cause with that, I was also working like a Cracker Barrel, like waiting on tables, yeah, with that, you, yeah, know? And that's like, you know, that's not, as you can imagine, that's not the dream, you know? So, you know, it's great. And like, I definitely grew like in like probably people skills and like being confident, just like talking to people nonstop all day, like brand new people and, you know, all that.
Yeah, really valuable skills.
Sure. Yeah. And like God totally used that, but I just knew that wasn't it as well. And so anyway, I just knew I wanted to do it full time. And I remember, you know, so this is kind of maybe coming back to like, you know, my youth pastor and like songwriting there. I remember that when he had a very similar situation, like where he was leading worship for our church and he was the youth pastor as well. But then he just like really felt like God was just leading him to just, you know, him and his family to like, to go back to Oregon from Indiana and to like just make an EP and to submit that out to the world or like to, you know, at least some folks in Nashville that he was somewhat connected with at that time. And yeah. And so that's just, he had no idea like what would come about that, you know? And it ended up, you know, he was a worship leader for like 10 years in Virginia. And that was just part of like, you know, like his resume as well, you know, so it was great. Mm-hmm. And now he's actually the senior pastor of that church as well. So just incredible, like, wow, you know, just kind of the journey that he's been on, you know, like, and so, yeah, but yeah, I remember kind of like, I thought back to that and I thought, you know, like, I want to do something similar to that, you know, and I don't know what that means or you know, like how that's going to materialize, but you know, I want to do that. And so through prayer and counseling and just a long time, like we decided to move away from that position that we were in. So at that time, I'm just basically doing Cracker Barrel full time and just working on songs, you know? And so that was October of 2016 when we left from there. And actually before that, so October 14th was our last day of there at the church that we were at. And then October 1st of that same month, same year, my current, one of the guys that's on staff at the church where I work at now approached me and said like, hey, we are looking for a worship leader. And, you know, he just kind of pitched that idea to me. And, you know, I said like, yeah, I'll think about it. I'll pray about it, you know, but really like in my heart, I was like, man, I'm not ready to like, just run back in, you know, to this, you know, I haven't even left my current position. And, so through all that, flash forward, like May of the next year is when I finally came on, you know, we had a lot of like just conversations that we had to like navigate through and just kind of like theology kind of things as well, you know, that we were just kind of wrestling through back and forth, you know, but yeah, you know, it just ended up, you know, like here at Lincoln Hills Christian Church full time. So for the last 4 years, and actually May 1st was my 4 year anniversary there. Yeah. Within all that, you know, I've been making music as well. And the church has just been, you know, very gracious to let me, you know, if I want to just sit and write for 2 hours, like in my office, like I have the liberty to do that. You know, that's, it's been very, you know, accommodating, you know, to that as well and supportive, I would say. So with that, like that was 2016, began writing with Jordan, you know, just, I remember that he approached me one time and maybe earlier that year. And, we were just going to a Carrollton show like here just close by. And I said, hey man, like, do you know anybody that is, you know, 'cause I'm looking to just kind of like maybe record some stuff and just have the desire to do that. And he goes, well, me, I can do it, you know? And so I was like, all right. So I kept that in mind. And then I circled back with him later on. And so like we wrote for and produced, you know, I should say he produced, but I sat right there like on his shoulder basically. And like, you know, just, it was like, we just talked through stuff, but yeah, 2018, you know, so like it was about a year and a half, you know, until that 5-song EP came out. That's how all that came to be, man. So, and then started playing like, you know, here and there a little bit, like at places, shows around here, and just like learning the value of like a co-write and like, you know, that whole world and just stuff that like, I was just had no idea of really, you know, like how songwriting really works, you know, and all that. So, yeah.
Man, well, so much there. I'd love, thanks for sharing that. I'd love to talk about the journey for you, you know, working at several different church environments. And then, like you said, you know, like you kind of were in a situation where you felt like maybe, you know, you and your wife were called to move out. You felt like you were in a role and it wasn't the spot for you guys. And God was obviously leading that. But also at the same time, you know, you're given this sort of vision, this sort of direction on, you know, working on artistry and developing. And at that point you hadn't done it like a ton, you know, in your past, you've been playing more than actually like creating from the artist side of thing. Of course, all those skills, doesn't matter if you're singing someone else's song or not, you're still developing your skills in that way, performance skills, all that stuff. But, you know, it was about, so October to May, you know, that's about 7 or 8 months before you know, decided it was time to go in and start, you know, in this new environment. So there's a lot of people listening that, you know, how did you, I know this is a bit of a loaded question, but like, how did you bring that up to where the new church that you were, you know, that you're at now was, like you said, accommodating, like it's okay for you to write because they understand that you need to be able to fester that creativity because that's a part of who you are and what you do. So how did you bring that up and bring that into the situation? That way it wasn't like, hey, you know, down the road, you're like, hey, I like to write songs too. And they're like, well, we never talked about that. We don't, you know, that's not really what we asked you to do. Like, how did you kind of bring that up to the front? Because there's a lot of people out there that would definitely love, you know, to lean into that experience you've had.
So going back to my youth pastor, one of the things that one of the like golden treasured piece of advice that he gave me when I felt like God was calling me into ministry. He said, when you interview at a church, you interview them just as much as they interview you. And I've just always kept that like with me every time. Like, you know, of course, you know, there's only been just a few times that I have interviewed at a church, you know, but that's really, 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 really like, I want to emphasize that it's super, super, super important. And as you continue to like be in ministry, and if, you know, God is like, just keeps you like in that, you know, if you're in full-time or even part-time, you know, vocational ministry, you learn to ask better questions as you continue, you know, to be in that role, because, you know, you just learn more just about just church and just how it works. And just, you know, I would say that you want to really ask like those hard questions up front. For example, so like my, we were just joking about it like yesterday or the day before, like with the staff at church, but like my interview was probably 3 to 4 hours because some of that is, you know, they probably had like, you know, I don't know, like a third of that, like where they were interviewing me, and the rest of the time, man, like it was just all me asking questions. And so I tend to be like the overcomplicated, want to just make sure, you know, there's probably a little bit of like, you know, like just anxiety and brokenness there. But like, I want, like, I'm very, like, I just want to be certain of just everything. So anyway, yeah. So I just like, I asked very, very, very thorough questions, you know, just to the iota, you know, so I wouldn't recommend that necessarily, but what I would recommend is just being very good about like those questions that like you really have, you know, as far as, you know, like, yeah, like for example, like what we're talking about, you know, like, I want to be able to like still live and breathe like in that space as well of like being an artist and creating, and is like, can this be a home for that? You know, there's obviously other things that like that I have to do in my role as a worship minister, and things that I would say like, because I've been hired to do this position, are like priority that like have to be done every single week. No question. You know, you wouldn't be there if you weren't performing that and doing that every week. But within that, you know, just asking the question, like, I have the desire to do this. Is there, I mean, that's exactly how I, when I said like, if I wanted to write in my office for a couple hours, can it be a reality, like to imagine a world where, you know, if I just have an idea come to me that I can just sit and grab my guitar and just like, just, you know, jam for 30 minutes or an hour and just try to like kind of pound out this idea that I have, you know? And they're like, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do that. You know? And I even told them, I said, you know, like, I want you to know that like, this is somewhat, I can't, you know, I'm kind of paraphrasing here and I'll probably said it in a more gracious way, but like this is kind of a risk, you know, because I don't know like what's going to happen, like with the artist side of things. And I don't know, like if I get just really heavily involved in that and just feel like that's just kind of asking more of my time or like what, you know, I feel like God is leading me into, like, I want to honor that and I want to pursue that, you know? And they were like, yeah, well, you know, we are willing to take the quote unquote risk, you know, like I said, I don't think it was phrased that way, but, but you know, like that, those questions like really need to be known up front, because mm-hmm. if you just assume that, you know, I don't know, they saw you like playing at a piano, like on your Instagram profile or whatever, and that like you love music and that you want to write music and you have these huge dreams, and you just assume that they know that and they're okay with that. And you know, that's a big part of your life. But, and then you've got, you know, a ministry that is just asking a lot of time from you, they may not be okay with that. And like, in a way, like I would not fault the church for that. You know, I mean, it's like, I appreciate a church that's very focused and driven and has like a very clear vision of like what they believe that God is calling them to do, for their staff to like echo that, you know, and move along with that. So I don't know what that means like for each, every person. Maybe that means like you find like a part-time position, like where you can serve at a church and like, you know, like feed Jesus's sheep like weekly like that, but still also have this time to, you know, like where you can take 3 or 4 hours out of each day and like really work on your craft. You know, maybe it means that, maybe it's where, you know, you find a full-time position, but they're still just very like accommodating and just supportive of that. You know, I don't know what that exactly is, but yeah, just that's what I would warn, is that you know, want to really ask like those difficult questions up front and interview them just as much, if not, I would say more, you know, than they interview you. Because there's times that churches don't know all the right questions. You know, like we're primarily made up of a team of volunteers, you know, like for the majority. I mean, you've got paid staff, right? But your committees and your interview teams, a lot of them are like, you know, volunteers that are just being gracious with their time and their talents, but they also, you know, they've got families and like full-time jobs, and just their mental space is just in a totally different place most times. And so sometimes they don't know the right questions to ask, you know? So you need to kind of be aware of that and be gracious with that as well. And just know that like, maybe like you need to ask some hard questions that they don't know to ask themselves as well, you know? Cause I think there's plenty of times too, where church hires someone and they don't realize maybe kind of the repercussions of, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the road of like, you know, maybe kind of like a little bit of a different, like kind of visions from the staff member that was hired in the church overall, you know? So that's what I would say to that.
I love that. And I think that only comes through experience, you know, because a lot of us that started off in the church, like ministry, just like you, you know, just like me, we just started playing in the band at some capacity. And then for those of us who it may turn into some sort of a vocation, whether part-time or full-time or whatever, we're just sort of going with it. And we're like, in our minds, it's like, oh, it's basically like what I've been doing, except now I'm getting paid. So there's responsibility, but you know, we don't think about the journey aspect to where like we're going to be growing in different directions along the way. And that doesn't mean that we always stay with the same church, and it maybe it means we do, you know, but the experiences that you've had are really great in the creative artistry side, because you know that that's an important thing to your life. And that's not important to everybody. I have worship leader friends that literally never written a song, don't want to write a song. They want to lead worship, and that's it. And that's noble. That's amazing. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I love that, you know, but like that's their journey. But, you know, like you said, bringing that to the forefront, you know, when you're engaging with a possible church, because like, you know, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. I mean, you've been with this church now for 4 years, you know, but that was a part of you coming on board. So that has been okay and great. And again, you don't abuse that, right? Like you're not mm-hmm. saying, oh yeah, you said I could, so I'm just going to write, you know, 40 hours this week. It's not that, you know, it's being reasonable, right. But they're not, you don't have to worry about if they walk by and you're jamming on a chorus idea for 30 minutes, they're not gonna be like, what are you doing, Ryan? You should be out there doing something else, you know, like mm-hmm. that, because it's been explained up front. So I love that, man. So mm-hmm. thanks for sharing that, 'cause I know that's a really valuable lesson for people to hear. And sort of on that note, maybe it is part of that, but I always like to ask people like, what's a piece of advice you'd give to your younger self? You know, maybe it was in your youth days or whatever it looks like. Like, what would you tell your younger self to encourage yourself and anyone listening on your music journey?
Well, I would say it for me specifically, and I think a lot of people can relate to this, is just know that like God delights in what you're doing, even if the public doesn't, because there's such a, like, I think probably maybe to a greater degree than ever, you know, there's just such a black hole that we can fall into of a comparison trap, you know. So like you take Instagram, for example, like Instagram's like this amazing, like I've had so many like wonderful things come off of Instagram. Just, I mean, like this is a great example, right? You messaged me on there and then, you know, a couple of weeks later, we're doing this. But with that, you know, just because you're just scrolling through and you can see, you know, whether it's your other friends like in the music business or people that you've wrote with or just artists that you look up to that are full-time signed, you know, all that, it can be really easy to just kind of sink into this, man, everything's just firing all cylinders for them and it's not for me. And like, what's like, you know, what am I doing wrong? Or I'm not working hard enough. Or, you know, like for me, like one of the things that I really struggle with is I just beat myself up a lot, you know, just about like, just feel like I'm not good enough or doing enough or, you know, just, or serving God like to my fullest, you know, or whatever. And just really, you know, like I just really wrestle through that, you know, and have to, that's just something that I'm just have to like kind of combat like on a daily basis and just walk with. And so with that, with like writing and, you know, playing shows and putting out songs, you know, like I can easily just start to tell myself, you know, you're not doing enough, man. Like you're not working hard enough. You're not, you know, whatever. When really all along, I just don't think that sometimes God is just so worked up about it as I am, you know, or as we are. I think about like Corey Asbury, and I remember listening to a podcast from him. And so for anybody that's like, doesn't know exactly who that is, but like the Reckless Love song, you know, that probably a lot of us know, that's Corey Asbury. Oh, yeah. And just love his stuff, man. Just a super sweet, like I just love like the undertone of like just this delight like that the Father has like in us, you know, just like kind of mm-hmm. runs throughout all of his songs. But anyway, I remember listening to an interview from him, and you know, between like the time what Reckless Love came out like in 2018 or 19, something like that album did. Yeah. Yeah. And so
early,
there was like
early
this,
18, I think.
So, yeah. So there was like almost like a 10-year gap between his like previous stuff and that. And so like to the naked eye, if you will, it's just like, man, he must not be doing anything anymore, or like just crickets, you know? And, yeah. But all the while, like, and he would tell you that like God was forming him and shaping him like to, you know, and then at some point, like, you know, he would release like this, man, this song that's like just really like I think helped the church understand like what God's, I mean, I know there's been like a lot of theological debate over it, and so like I just want to put that aside, but like we all agree that like God like has this overwhelming love for us that like we will never be able to fully understand, I think, in this lifetime, you know, even as much as we love our children and like those around us, it's just something that like we just have a hard time like really grasping, you know, and I think that song kind of helped move us a little closer to that. But I say all that to say that he had this 10-year season where, or close to 10-year, that it just seemed like nothing was going on. But all the while, I could just imagine, you know, that, you know, just him kind of in his quiet place, you know, just like developing like his gift and his craft, like with, you know, with his father, you know. And, you know, so I'm not saying like don't work hard. I'm not saying that at all. You know, I think that we should be pursue excellence in what we do. But when you like change your mindset to like, I got to do all these things and get this stuff out, and I've got to just keep posting all this stuff on Instagram and just really showing the world that I'm like doing stuff, you know? And it's like, I think we do all those things so that we can feel like we're an artist, you know, at times, or like, you know, convince ourselves that like, this is our calling, when it's like, God's like, no, like, what you need to know more than anything is that like, you're my child and I love you and I delight in you. And whether you continue to do this or not does not change how I feel about you. And when you kind of like can rest and settle into that place, then like you can just, I think it frees you up to like be able, one, I think you're going to write better stuff. And two, like you're going to be able to just give that way, give your gift away to others around you and move the kingdom forward from such a place that, like, where you don't just feel like you're just trying to become something, but realizing like what God already says you are, and like just the delight that he has like in you, and just, you know, your voice and your, you know, it's like everything that he's made, like, you know, from your hair follicles down to your toes, you know, like, and even the voice that he gave you, like, even if you feel like it's not the best voice out there or whatever, but it's like, man, like he loves it, you know, he loves it. Even if nobody else, you know, recognizes it, if it never gets signed, you know, if your piano or guitar skills, or, you know, your mixing skills, like in your studio, never get recognized by the people that you want it to be recognized by, like the Father recognizes that. And like, that's, man, it changes everything, you know? And so I think for me, what I would tell my younger self is just to know you already possess everything that you need. You, like, you don't need one more thing. Like, you have God's approval. Like, his constant proclamation over you is that you are a son of God, and that you're dearly loved, and that you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and that you just have, you know, eternity with Jesus to call your home. Like, you have this, like, you're brand new. Like, you are not the same person you were. And none of this stuff is attached to your identity. These are simply like extensions of like what you already have. Of who you are as like a redeemed son or daughter of God. And then from that place, it's like, oh, well, I can really, then it like, if anything, like it motivates me just to create more, you know, and to move God's kingdom forward, because it's like, man, this is so good. And I wanted to share it with the rest of the world, you know? So I'll say all that to say, like, I would not, you know, just to not compare yourself, you know, like, you know, it's fine to follow all these people like on social media. And like I said, you know, so many great things come out of the internet. Like it does wonderful things. Right. But with that, I would just always, you know, caution just to know that like where your approval comes from and where your validation and your value and your joy is stemming from.
Man, I love that. So much freedom in that, because honestly, that theme of the comparison game comes up a lot, you know, with the people I've been able to talk to, and because it's such a real, you know, trick of the enemy, you know, because the enemy's like, hey, you know, whispering in your ear, hey, look at how much more they're doing than what you're doing. You're not doing anything, you know, and like, it's all lies, you know, because like you said, like, I love the Corey Asbury thing. Like, I don't know the exact timeline, but I know that obviously he was really involved in IHOP. So, you know, while we maybe weren't seeing Corey Asbury posting songs, the dude was spending hours and hours, you know, praying and writing and leading worship for maybe nobody for years and years and years and years. And then look what the result of that is a song that literally is one of those songs in the church that's like, will live forever. And not to say that's what you do it for. You don't, because there's no way that you could know that's going to happen, you know, but it's worth it, because the most important thing is hanging out with God and building that relationship. Everything else, you know, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. Like, that's what we're called to do. And it's very difficult when we're constantly reminded of what other people are doing, you know? So like you said, it's just using social media and using it for what it's, you know, it could be, which is a great way to connect, a great way to inspire and encourage each other, but try not to fall into the trap of it, like beating you up, because it can easily do that. I mean, everywhere you go, it's like you get to see people's highlight reels, you know, and then it's like, well, how come my highlight reel isn't as pretty as theirs? It's like, well, geez, it's not, it's not real. It's just what we choose to show, you know. But at the end of the day, if we are firm in our foundation in what God's calling us to do, then I think we can weather that stuff a little bit better, right? It doesn't hit us quite as hard, and we know whose we are. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not recommending this for everybody, but like there for a while, like on Instagram, like I was just getting very like kind of fouled up with just comparing myself and just kind of seeing like how stuff was just doing, you know, just other people, and I'm feeling like, you know, I'm not doing enough or whatever. And so I just kind of started following, you know, like as we talked about before we jumped on the podcast here, I just love the outdoors. I love hunting and fishing and hiking. And so I just started like following just a bunch more of that stuff. And then, so that's primarily what's in my feed now. And so really Instagram's kind of like more like a refuge for me, you know, like where I can just kind of like chill out and like just see some inspiring stuff to like help me like train my dog better. And like, you know, just to reinvigorate like just myself in the outdoors and just like creation and all that, you know? And so I don't recommend that for everybody, you know, but it's probably like 80% outdoor stuff and like 20% music, you know? And I feel like at least for right now, that's kind of a good thing for me just to just have that, you know? So yeah.
Cool, man. And sort of on that note, if people want to, you know, I'm going to link all this stuff below and as a connection point and stuff and get your music is, you know, like I said, definitely enjoy the stuff you're putting out. So if people want to connect with you and learn more about what you're doing, like ministry wise, like what's the best way for people to reach out?
Yeah. So just Instagram is just Ryan Linton, just together, one word, find me on there. I've got a Ryan Linton Music Facebook page, but I don't tend to that as well. I haven't posted on there for a while. So probably the best way, you know, and I feel like that's kind of what a lot of stuff's moving towards, just kind of more Instagram, you know? So that's definitely the best place that you can find me. You know, if you message me, like I'll definitely get it and respond to you and all that good stuff. So I will give like the full disclosure. So right now, like I told you before we get on the podcast, like I'm training a puppy right now. And so like all of my posts are about that. So if you don't like cute little puppies, I guess don't follow me for right now. But there is like, you know, if I've got like a show coming up, like I'll make a post about that, so that's definitely where you can get a hold of me.
Yeah. And if you don't like cute little puppies, then we might have other questions for you. So,
yeah, you know, that's for sure. Who doesn't?
Well, man, this was great. I love getting the chance to connect and hear about, you know, I love the backstory because with most people, I get to, you know, experience people through their songs first for the most part, you know, so like to get to hear of, because every song that you put out, everything we talked about today is the result of those songs eventually, you know, everything you've lived, everything you've done, every experience you've had. So I love getting to go backwards and reverse engineer like how it came, you know, and where it came from. So I feel like, you know, all of the wisdom you shared about the, you know, church ministry stuff and then even like meeting your wife and, you know, think about that, like bass guitar, even though you just started plunking around one day when you were a teenager, one day you got to teach your future wife how to play. I mean, that's amazing, you know, like how God does that. Cause like, we don't get to think about that a lot. We're just like, yeah, I sucked at bass or whatever. And now like I've quit, but really like that was just the first thing to spark that thing that like literally led you into, you know, family man. And now, you know, everything you're doing. So I love that. I love getting to hear the story. So I appreciate you sharing. But before we go, man, I'd love to pray over you. That's how I like to end all these interviews. So
oh, man, I appreciate that. Thank you, man. Yeah.
God, thank you so much for Ryan. Thank you so much for the time we got to spend here together, God, and all that you've done through his life, Lord, even from that first instance, that first spark of playing bass to now what he's been doing and getting to lead and share his gifts and talents with so many different church communities and people and stewarding people and leading sheep to you, God. Just we thank you so much for you continuing to propel that, Lord, through his artistry, through his songs, his singing, songwriting, God, and all the people that he touches and interacts with, God. I just pray that your hand and your direction is evident in everything he does. I prayed for increased creativity, motivation, inspiration, God. And when the enemy whispers in his ear that, you know, whatever it is that keeping him down, the comparison game, I just pray that he just brushes that off and does and realizes again that, you know, you reminded him over and over again, God, that he is yours, God, and that's the most important thing, God. And we all know that we face those attacks of the enemy, Lord, and we face that anxiety, and we face those feelings of insecurities, God. But as we find ourselves more secure in you, God, we become more confident in you and less confident in us, God, that we can take any attack, because if you're for us, who can stand against us, God? We thank you so much for this time. We pray this is an encouragement to anyone listening, Lord, and we give you all the glory. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
We want to help reach as many Christian indie artists and songwriters as possible. And one way we can do that is with your help. So if you could take a minute and leave us a review on iTunes, that would be so appreciated. This is how the iTunes algorithm will push this content out to more and more Christian indie artists and songwriters. So like I said, if you could just take a couple seconds, leave us a review, that would be so awesome. It means so much to us, and we would really appreciate it.